Have you ever found yourself struggling to recall someone's name? You know, that feeling when you've met them before, but you just can't quite place them.
It happens to the best of us.
It can be a bit awkward. And this research paper we're examining today dives into a potential technological solution to precisely that problem. We're considering a memory assistance system aiming to, well, eliminate those uncomfortable moments when you simply can't remember someone you've met before.
The potential of memory augmentation is vast, but there's a significant gap between the seamless systems often depicted in science fiction and the realities of current technology. This particular research intrigued me because it takes a more focused and practical approach, addressing this very specific challenge.
So the researchers, Uemura and their team, they propose a system using a wearable camera.
With a head-mounted display.
Right, a head-mounted display. This setup is designed for real-time facial recognition and, importantly, for the delivery of those all-important reminders. And they really emphasize the speed in their work, which makes sense. I mean, imagine trying to navigate a conversation while, fumbling with a device.
It wouldn't make for the smoothest interaction.
Not at all.
Their method for achieving the speed is fascinating, though. It's this technique they call scalable face recognition, which can handle these extensive databases of faces without compromising on speed. And that's critical for any real-world application because the system needs to work seamlessly even after you've encountered countless new individuals. The process itself is broken down into several stages. You have the face detection, the tracking, feature extraction, and finally, the recognition.
And could you elaborate on the concept of local features and voting? They mentioned that in their research.
Sure, it's a surprisingly intuitive concept, actually. Think about how you might recognize someone from a distance. Perhaps you focus on certain distinctive features.
Their hairstyle.
Exactly, their hairstyle. Or maybe a piece of clothing they frequently wear.
Right.
Well, the system operates similarly. It extracts unique features from the face it's focusing on and compares them against those stored in its database. And each match acts as a vote, and the video with the most votes is considered the most likely match. It's elegant because it can handle those variations in appearance. We're talking about changes in lighting, facial hair,
It's like that.
without disrupting the recognition process.
That's impressive. But what happens if, the system makes a mistake?
Well, this is where the system truly stands out in its sophistication. Instead of displaying just a single video, it presents multiple videos deemed the most likely matches. So even if there's a slight error in the recognition, chances are you'll still be able to identify the right person from, the top
So it's
choices.
like a built-in safety net.
Precisely. That redundancy is crucial for building trust in a system meant for social situations.
So instead of relying solely on facial recognition, it builds in these extra layers of, I guess, certainty to improve accuracy.
Precisely. And it aligns with what they found in a questionnaire they conducted. The researchers found that people often place more value on contextual clues when trying to recall an encounter.
Contextual clues.
Yes, things like the location or event where they met someone, rather than just the person's name.
So how does it incorporate those contextual clues?
Well, instead of just displaying faces, it retrieves and displays the corresponding times and locations associated with those past encounters. So you see a face, and then right there with it, a little reminder. Maybe it says, met this person at a conference in London last May.
Oh, I see. So it's like having a digital trail of sorts of your social interactions.
Precisely. And the real strength of this approach is that it recognizes that memory isn't just about these isolated facts. It's about connecting those facts to specific times, specific places.
It does make you wonder, though, if in the future we'll all be walking around with these systems, seamlessly navigating these social situations without ever having to, worry about forgetting someone.
It is a very intriguing thought. However, as with all research, this study does have its limitations. For instance, the questionnaire that they used, it focused heavily on a younger demographic, primarily individuals in their 20s. So it's difficult to say how applicable these findings are to, let's say, older demographics who might experience more age-related memory decline.
That's a good point. And they also mentioned the inherent difficulties of real-world testing. A system that performs well in, say, a controlled lab setting might not translate as well to the more unpredictable nature of everyday life.
Precisely. And that presented a very specific challenge for the researchers. How do you ethically and practically test a system designed to help people remember those they've forgotten? It's not as if we're constantly bumping into people that, we should remember but don't.
So how did they get around that?
They opted for a two-pronged approach. First, they use the questionnaire to get a sense of people's general experiences with forgetting encounters and their willingness to use such a system. That provided some really valuable insight into, you know, potential users and their needs. And second, they created a data set of videos specifically for testing the system's accuracy in recognizing faces from past encounters.
So instead of relying solely on those real-world encounters, they essentially constructed a more controlled environment to rigorously assess the system's performance.
Exactly. So this involved recording videos of individuals on different days, ensuring variations in appearance, lighting, all of that. And then this data set was used to train and evaluate their facial recognition algorithms. They were particularly interested in seeing how well the system could accurately identify those individuals it had encountered in those previous videos.
And what did they find?
Well, the results were actually quite remarkable. The system showed a very high recognition accuracy, even when analyzing a single frame of video.
So even a quick glance could be enough for the system to, I guess, make a connection.
In many cases, yes. And the accuracy improved significantly when multiple frames were analyzed. That really highlighted the system's robustness, its ability to handle those brief real-world interactions, you know, where you might only have a few seconds to make an impression or, in this case, allow the system to, I suppose, make an impression for you.
That's pretty impressive. So even if you're, say, passing someone on the street or you briefly make eye contact across a crowded room, this system could potentially recognize them, offer those helpful reminders.
That's precisely the goal. And this research suggests that it is an attainable one. You know, while it's easy to get caught up in all the technical details, what's really exciting is the potential for this technology to make a genuine difference in people's lives.
It's not just about facial recognition. It's about enhancing those social interactions, perhaps even alleviating some of those anxieties we feel.
Exactly. Just imagine the relief this system could bring to someone struggling with social anxiety or perhaps someone coping with age-related memory decline. It could empower them to engage with others more confidently, to foster deeper connections, all while reducing the fear of those, shall we say, awkward moments of forgetfulness.
It's almost as if this technology could, you know, reshape how we think about those interactions, create a world where even those brief encounters hold more weight, and that fear of forgetting a name becomes a thing of the past.
It's a compelling thought. Of course, it does beg the question, how might this technology, if we have something capable of augmenting memory to this extent, how might it change our approach to relationships in general? Would it really enhance our presentness in these interactions, or could it somehow diminish it?
That is the question, isn't it? Because on the one hand, this type of memory assistance, it could free us from that anxiety of forgetting, right? Allowing us to be more present, more engaged. But then again, there's a certain authenticity to those unscripted moments, those stumbles, those recoveries, those things that make us human.
That's a very astute observation. And it speaks to a certain balance we have to strike. As with any new technology, we have to consider the ethical implications, especially when it comes to privacy. If we're capturing and analyzing this facial data on such a massive scale, we need to make sure that information is handled responsibly, ethically.
We do need to tread carefully, weighing those potential drawbacks against these possibilities.
Precisely. Because this technology, it has the potential to improve our lives, but it's our responsibility to ensure that it's developed and used responsibly. We have to carefully consider its benefits, but also those potential pitfalls.
It's certainly given us much to think about. It's not every day we get to explore the intersection of technology, social interaction, and, well, memory.
It is a fascinating realm, and I think this research offers us a glimpse into a future where technology could empower us to navigate the intricacies of human connection with, well, a little more grace, perhaps a little less awkwardness.
As we wrap up this episode, I'll leave you with this thought. If you had access to a device that could remember every face you encountered, every interaction, every single detail, would you use it? What impact would that have on your relationships, your memories, even your sense of self? Until next time.